What I'm preaching on today is look for this to occur just before the rapture of the church. Look for this to occur just before the rapture of the church. The scripture that we're using is Luke chapter 21, verse 25 through 28, that reads as follows. And there shall be signs in the sun. Has anybody seen the solar flares everybody's worried about? And in the moon, they're talking about putting a city on the moon, all this type of thing. And in the stars, have you seen the telescopes that have made the beautiful pictures that are absolutely amazing? And upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity. And that Greek word means not knowing the way out. The sea and the waves roaring. The Greek word roaring there deals with an echo sound coming from the sea. And then it says this, men's heart failing them for fear of looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then they shall see the Son of Man, this is Jesus, coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, everybody say begin, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Several gospel writers give you the signs of the time of the end. Matthew 24, Luke 19, Luke 21, Mark 13. But I saw something years ago. It is not when you start seeing signs happen. It is when all the signs start happening at one time. I'm going to tell you, after being in ministry 47 years, this is the first time I can remember that all the signs I read about of the time of the end are starting to converge and compress at one time. Now, that does mean the Lord's coming. Now, in Matthew 24 and verse 8, Jesus gives the signs and he says this, all these are the beginning of sorrows. That Greek word there is from a word that means a birthing pain that a woman has when she's in the last part of her labor. And in the Old Testament, when God was dealing with Israel and Israel needed rebuking or Israel was sinning, he compared what was coming upon them in the form of judgment as a birth pain. Here's the four birth pains. Number one, Romans 8:22, the earth is in travail waiting to be delivered. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 26, the travail of the heavens. It talks about the heavens travailing, the heavens shaking. Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 8, the travail of the church. And that verse says, when Zion travails, she brings forth her children. That's Israel literally, but it also can have a reference to the church. And then there's the travail of Israel, Micah chapter 5 and verse 3. So we come to a time where the whole earth, according to Paul, is groaning and travailing. And we can see that. I believe that earthquakes are natural. I believe sometimes they can be sent by the Lord. This is all biblical. And I believe sometimes they are simply the earth in travail because of the innocent blood that has been shed. The earth is now travailing and disclosing the blood of the slain. That's in the book of Revelation, by the way. Now, I'm going to get into this immediately. There are four things that are going to happen at the time of the end. And many of these will be indicators of the return of the Lord. We're going to go through these as fast as we can because I've got a full message today. First of all is signs from beneath the earth. Acts chapter 2, verses 19 through 20, the Lord says this, and I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood, fire, and vapor of smoke. Now, the blood and fire and vapor of smoke is not a sign from heaven. It's a sign from beneath the earth. And the sun shall be turned to darkness, the moon to blood, before the great and notable day of the Lord comes. Now, Joel chapter 2 mentions this verse, and Peter is quoting it in Acts chapter 2 from the prophecy of Joel. The phrase that always intrigued me was the one where he said blood, fire, and pillars of smoke. And I did research for years, and I've done rabbinical research on this, and they say this is volcanic activity, that the volcanic activity will continue to increase before the great and dreadful or great and terrible day of the Lord comes, which means before the great tribulation, volcanic activity is going to go completely but bonkers and completely berserk, okay? And so the terrible day of the Lord is mentioned 26 times in Scripture, and it means a day of dark. It alludes to a day of darkness, a day of trembling, a day of trouble, a day of fire, a day of destruction. That is all a part of the verses that you read in the Bible concerning the great day of the Lord, which is coming in the future. Now, if you go back, for example, to the days of Lot, you'll discover something happened. You'll discover that it says this in the Scripture, and the Lord rained down fire on Sodom and Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven, and he overthrew those cities and all the cities of the plain, all the inhabitants of those cities, and that which grew upon the ground. All right, five cities, Sodom, Gomorrah, Admah, Zeboim, and Zoar, Genesis chapter 14. Four of the five cities totally annihilated. They were in the valley. There was a city called Zoar, which was up on a mountain, and that's where Lot was permitted to go to, and he actually was afraid of going to the city because he thought it was going to be destroyed, so he lived in a cave, if you read the Bible. So four out of the five were destroyed. The little city that was... Oh, can I go here for a minute? Jewish history teaches you that out of those five cities, four of them had judges. The judges in Sodom and Gomorrah passed a ruling that you could put a bed in the street and lay a stranger in it. And that's why the men in Sodom knocked on the door to get the men out at night. One city didn't have a judge. It was Zoar. And the one city that didn't have judges passing weird laws was the one that was spared. And a lot of people are moving out of big cities because of the mobs and the fighting and the taxes and so on, and they're going into more rural areas where there's more... you understand what I'm saying without me going into detail about that. So watch what happened. So what happened at that time, there's a lot of theories that some say it was a mini asteroid that hit. Others say it was other things of that nature. But the Dead Sea has a lot of volcanic activity throughout its history. And many people believe that there was an earthquake that caused an explosion of the gases and the sulfuric gases and different type of gases that are at the Dead Sea area, because these five cities were located at the bottom part of the Dead Sea. And it's also believed that what could have happened was it blew up and it took all the fire underneath, and the fire, because there's been sulfur balls found there. I know you know that. And it went up into the heavens and it looked like it was raining down actual fire from a huge volcanic type of eruption. Now, the reason we say that is not just because what they have found there, and not just the fact that they have found this black looking substance that's a form of petroleum, natural gas, sulfur, all of that is in that area, but also because of Genesis chapter 19 and verse 8. Abraham was in Beersheba. Beersheba is the city of seven wells. Beersheba is high. The Dead Sea is low. And the Bible said when he got up that morning and looked, he saw the smoke of a great furnace that was coming up from the area of Sodom and Gomorrah. So the fire, apparently, now how many of you know if there's a fire here, what's going to happen? The smoke's going to go up. And so that's one of the indications that the possibility of a volcanic eruption may have happened there and sent the fire and the brimstone just up into the sky, bringing it back down to the bottom of the earth. And so Lot went on the Jordanian side, not the Israeli side. The Dead Sea is in the middle. He went on the Jordanian side up into the mountains to get away from what was happening in that lower area. And that's just a speculation by different ones. Now, we do know that there will be huge volcanic activity, very, very common in the last days. If you go to the War of Gog and Magog, which is mentioned in the book of Ezekiel 38 and 39, there's a scripture that I want to read to you that ties in with this. And here's what it says. God says, I will plead against him. I will plead against Gog on the mountains with pestilence and with blood, with rain, and will rain upon him and upon his bands and upon with many people that are with him, an overflowing rain, great hailstones, fire and brimstone. Fire and brimstone during the War of Gog and Magog in the northern part of Israel. Another verse of scripture in Ezekiel chapter 39, verse 6 says this, same passage here, same chapter. I will send a fire on Magog and among them that dwell carelessly on the islands, that they shall know that I am the Lord. Now, the Bashan area is in what is called the Golan Heights of Israel. Bashan is like the old name or the earlier name. And here's a picture. Now, what you see there are two things. In the far distance is Mount Hermon. You see one of the lakes there that surround that area. And by the way, that's not the Sea of Galilee. That's the lake up in the Bashan in the northern area. So you see the Dead Sea at the bottom where it says Beersheba. See where Beersheba is? And the Sodom and Gomorrah was at the bottom of the Dead Sea. You can see the distance where Abraham was looking down when the fire came. Then you go all the way up north, you see in red, up it says near Syria, and Bashan is the Syrian border, the Lebanese border. It's above the Lake of Galilee, and that's what it looks like. It's mostly farming territory now. So that's going to be the area where God says, I will send a fire against the northern armies in the future. This hasn't happened yet. That's going to come against Israel. Now, here's what's interesting about that particular area. The Golan Heights, or the Bashan area, has the largest volcanic fields. Say it again. The largest volcanic fields of the Western Arabia Peninsula. extinct volcanoes in the northeastern Golden Heights, there are 50 cylinder cones, and all the rock. Who's been with me to Israel can verify what I'm about to say. The Chorazin, the city of Chorazin, has black basalt rocks all over it. The whole city's black rock. You know what that is? It's volcanic rock. So in other words, while there's never been a major eruption in that area, the whole area of that part of Israel is all volcanic. Now, very likely, according to the text, there'll be a major earthquake that happens with the Gog and Magog war. But that earthquake will open up the subterranean area of where the volcanic lava and, you know, the magma is. And it'll start just firing off this magma and this lava, creating a massive fire in that area during the war of Gog and Magog. You know, somebody said, it's a shame Israel has to stand alone. And it's almost looking like that's what they're doing. But don't worry about them. When Michael the archangel is the guardian of your nation, you don't have anything to worry about. And when God has already predicted that your enemies will be destroyed in the future, and he's going to do it supernaturally. And the reason God does it without the help of the U.S., without the help of other countries, is God said that my name will be magnified, and the nations shall know that I am the God of my people. And all that's a part of this process. During the tribulation, Revelation chapter 8, verses 7 through 9, we have some scriptures here that we want to show you. Notice what happens in the tribulation period. The first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth. The third of the trees were burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. Then it says this, and the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea. And that's the actual ocean sea, not the dead Sea or the Sea of Galilee. It's the ocean, some either Mediterranean, Pacific, Atlantic, we're not sure where. And the third of the sea became as blood, and the third of the living creatures in the sea died, and the third of the ships were destroyed. Now that mountain burning with fire could be a volcano that slides into, and they were worried about this a few months ago if you saw the news, that slides into the ocean and creates a massive tsunami that goes all the way. And if a ship is facing the wrong direction, it can topple the ship. And that's why one third of the ships are destroyed during that time. But the point I make is Revelation chapter 8 and verse 7 mentions hail and fire. How can you produce what looks like hailstones coming from the sky that are fiery? Volcanic eruption. It's just very simple. And then Revelation 8 and 8, the mountain burning, that part of it goes into the sea and causes a major tsunami. And that's what this is, without a doubt, is a volcano somewhere that is going to erupt, but it's going to break off. You remember a few years ago, what was that over in Europe? There was that volcano burning, and they kept saying, if it burns off the edge, it'll go into the ocean and create this massive tsunami. And it made me think of this verse. Thankfully, that did not happen. It would have affected New York City and part of the East Coast, much of the East Coast of the United States. Now, so one is this, before the great and terrible day of the Lord, before the tribulation comes, you're going to see an increase of volcanic activity. Now, when I did the message, it may have changed now, but when I did the message, there were 47 volcanoes slowly leaking or erupting or in the process of having smoke come out where they were noticing them around the world. 47 volcanoes. So ladies and gentlemen, what does that indicate? That's not just a pre-tribulation sign. We could call that a pre-rapture sign. Now the second example is this, and this is the signs. You got to really follow me here because this ties in with what I just said, is the sign of the oceans overflowing based on Luke chapter 21, verse 25. Now, when it says this in the Bible, and this is a statement by Jesus, that when you get into the end of time and you get into the season of the last birth pains, the sea and the waves will be roaring. I looked up that Greek word roaring, and it comes from a word that means an echo sound, something that vibrates and echoes and creates a sound. What was interesting, and perhaps some of you have heard me talk about this and teach this, what was interesting is that when the tsunami struck Indonesia several years ago, everybody that survived it described a hollow echoing sound. They even used the word echo that was coming from the ocean before the tsunami ever struck. And that is known by anyone who's ever survived a tsunami on the ocean area. A weird sound is heard coming from the water. I honestly believe 100% that's what Jesus was referring to in this particular prophecy, in this particular passage of scripture. Now, tsunamis in the ocean, as you well know, know, are triggered by underwater earthquakes. Now, depending on how much the earthquake occurs on the surface area of the plates in the ocean or how deep it is, will determine whether or not there's an actual tsunami or whether it's only a foot high or it could be maybe 50 feet high or even higher than that. So earthquakes trigger them. Now, most of you know, let me show you a map here, that off the coast of California on the west coast in the Pacific Ocean are numerous tectonic plates, okay? And 20% of all quake fault lines are in the ocean, all right? This is actually off of the internet, a Southern California offshore map of active fault lines and earthquakes since 1933. Now, I want you to notice, there's Los Angeles. You're coming down all the way down to the coast. Of course, Mexico's over there on the right on the map. Go up on tour the other areas of Northern California. That's all actual fault lines in the ocean that have been discovered. Everybody talks about the San Andreas fault line, which is on land that runs from Los Angeles all the way up to San Francisco. And that's dangerous, of course, if it should go off to like a 0.8, 0.9, that type of thing. But this is all in the water. Now, have you heard, and this is the most recent information, that right off the coast of Oregon, Washington State, in the Pacific Ocean, a hole has formed. And you can actually go to the internet and see this, and this hole is a big gap, and this looks like gases are coming out of it. And all of that is connected to this tectonic area. Now, they didn't know that existed until they discovered it, but what they're saying is that if all the gases under there, and the gases in those chambers, if it comes out, it's going to collapse it. If it collapses, there's a 600-mile-long fault line. If that fault line goes off, this is not Perry Stone saying this. These are scientists that researched this from the West Coast saying that if the fault line goes off, it could produce a 0.9 earthquake. If it produces a 0.9 earthquake, it will take out all the coastal areas from Washington, Oregon, Northern California. It will just come in with a tsunami like we have never seen in the United States or maybe in the world if that were to happen. And so I want you to make you aware of that, because if you have my book, The Vision, who got my book, The Vision, the book on The Vision, did you read about the West Coast tsunami that I have seen over and over again? And I'm telling you, the wave to me, I was in a small plane taking off when it hit. The wave to me looked like 70 to 100 feet high, and it was the scariest thing I've ever seen. I saw it coming into the shore. I actually fled into a car up a mountain in Southern California in the stream, and I went to a woman's house who happened to have a news network on, and they already had helicopters in the sky showing the devastation. And she, oddly enough, we actually went to her door, knocked on the door, and she said, "I know who you are, you're Perry Stone." And I said, "Yes, ma'am, I am." She says, "Do you know what's happened?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, I do." And we'd gotten on a high mountain, and I'm telling you, every crack was being filled, all the valleys were filled, and it was like water just coming in like this. So I've actually seen that, and I'm going to say this, and I know this is going to go on the manifest telecast. I know when God shows me something, but it doesn't always happen when he shows it to you. Are you aware of that? He showed John something 2,000 years ago almost that hadn't happened yet, okay? So we don't know the timing of these things, but I'm very much convinced that eventually you're going to see something on the Pacific Rim area off the coast of the United States that's going to be quite devastating. And I don't like to say that. I don't like to talk about that. But I do know the Spirit of God shows you things ready, not to scare you, but to prepare you. He prepares you for things, all right? And it says this in Revelation chapter 16 and verse 18. It says, "And there were voices and thunders and lightning, and there was a great earthquake such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great." So there's an earthquake coming in which the Bible says the cities of the nations will fall. In 1960 to 2011, we find out that when you do some research, there were five earthquakes in the world that were between 9.0 to 9.5. And in those particular earthquakes, there were a total of 239,682 people that were killed. So there have been a few throughout history, earthquakes in different parts of the world that have created this level. Now, if a tsunami hits, for example, it covers the islands. If the waves are big enough, these islands in the ocean, many of them are inhabited in parts of the world, Pacific Ocean especially, would actually be decimated to a point of almost no return in some areas, and especially the people live in the lower levels of them. And of course, as the Bible said, ships would be destroyed. Now, why am I telling you that? Here's why I'm telling you that, because I want to take you now to the days of Noah, and I want to remind everybody here that as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be at the time of the coming of the Son of Man. Here's the verse that I want to give you from the days of Noah. The Bible tells us that in the time of the days of Noah, Genesis chapter 7, verses, I'm going to get it here for you, 10 through 12. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth, and in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, on that day all the fountains of the great deep were broken open, the windows of heaven were open, and the rain was on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. Now watch this. The fountains first were broken. The fountains are the aquifers underneath the earth. So there was a major earthquake in the days of Noah that cracked those, and the aquifers just start shooting up from all over the world. Second thing is, the fountains of the great deep were opened up. The great deep refers to not just the aquifers. We have those on our farm out here, but also the fountains of the great deep refers to the what we call the subterranean water, of which there are entire huge lakes of subterranean water underneath the crust of the earth. And it says they were broken up, and the Hebrew word there is a very strong word that means to rip up, to burst open, and it's just like a major, rocks are flying everywhere, dirt is flying everywhere. So you have two things going on. You have an earthquake on earth happening. It's breaking up the fountains of the deep, releasing the water. Then you have rain coming from the sky. Think about this, for 40 days and 40 nights nonstop. And it took the rain to lift up the ark into the atmosphere to get it above the disaster that was happening on the earth. Now, remember this, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be at the time of the coming of the Son of Man. In the 2004 Indonesian tsunami, there were 227,899 people that were killed. There were 14 countries that were completely impacted. And Japan, when Japan had their tsunami, which came very suddenly, people were not prepared for it. It killed 15,500 people, and it affected 3 nuclear reactors. Now, here's the point I want to make, and I want you to listen to this. This is very important. As it was in the days of Noah, so will it be at the time of the coming of the Son of Man. Would you agree with me on that? That's in the Bible. Matthew talks about that. Luke talks about it. As it was in the days of Noah and Lot, it will be that way in the time of the coming of the Son of Man. Now, in Lot's day, what was the judgment that came? Fire. In Noah's day, what was the judgment that came? Water. So you have it right here. A tsunami is created by the fountains of the deep, or the cracks of the earth, like the days of Noah, being broken up. So the tsunami and the water from a tsunami represents the days of Noah. Now you can hear the latest word on the last days that reveals details of where we are now and what and where major events will happen in the near future from the world's leading prophetic teachers. The 2023 Prophetic Summit is now available to everyone on 13 CDs or on 13 DVDs, and also available on an audio flash drive. Here are the speakers and their messages. Jonathan Kahn explained how the demon gods have returned. Lance Wallnau used a whiteboard and taught, "This is about to change everything." And also the eye-opening message, "Heaven is about to do an earth invasion." Mark Biltz used Hebrew charts and pictures to illustrate his messages, called Connecting the Dots, and one called The Stunning Harbingers of Things to Come. Bill Cloud, a master of Hebrew, taught on the spirit of prophecy and the spirit of idolatry. He also revealed the secret of repairing the breach. Jimmy Evans took us on a fascinating journey from the 1800s to this present age, explaining the timeline of prophetic events. Now, here's what I did. I used numerous scriptures and pictures to illustrate these 5 messages. Something I have missed concerning the pre-tribulation rapture. The next message was called The Secret of the Wedding and the Marriage of the King. You will also hear in this series the fascinating revelation from the book of Daniel called The Future Millennial Events and the First 75 Days when Jesus rules on earth. You will also discover amazing details when Christ returns to earth in the message, White Lightning, the King Messiah, and his battle map. In my 5th message, discover the 4 biggest things that will happen just before the rapture of the church. Now, you will enjoy 13 hours, imagine that, 13 hours of dynamic prophetic teaching that will leave you encouraged, excited, and informed about the last days. The CD album is $65, and the offer number for that is 23PS-CD. The DVD album is $95, and that offer number is 23PSDVD. Now, the DVDs will have all the pictures and the PowerPoints and the scriptures that were on the screens. Don't forget that. The audio flash drive is also available for $65 by requesting it and using offer number 23PS-USB. You can call toll-free at 1-888-21-BREAD or order online at our website at perrystone.org, or send the offer number and send us a note with the check to Perry Stone Ministries, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee 37320. I can guarantee you this. This is going to be the best prophetic series in the 47-year history of our ministry. You will be prepared. You will be informed. You will know the times and seasons, and you will know what to do. So go ahead and order the 13 CDs or the DVD album or the 13 messages that are on the audio flash drive and do it today. God bless you. Well, listen to me very carefully. I have heard a lot of messages. I've heard tens of thousands of prophetic speakers. There was ministers at this conference, 13 messages, that preached things I had never heard in my life. And I have to go back and re-listen to some of these messages over and over again. So I want you to get this series. And remember that when you get it, you're helping keep Manifest on the air. When enough people get it, it helps us to be able to pay for our airtime. I don't send out letters asking for donations. I don't send out letters to my partners asking for donations. And that ought to mean something to people, because I don't get on TV. I told God, if I got to beg, I quit. I'm not going to do this. But we don't beg, because God has always provided in 22 years. So please get the material in your hands right now. Call that number today or go online at perrystone.org and do it. I'm going to go through this very quickly. We're coming to Family Faith Church Willis Campus August 18th and 19th there in Willis, Texas. Huntsville, Texas, August the 20th. Christ Temple in Huntington, West Virginia, August the 25th to 27th. Gateway Church, one service only, September 10th. Russellville, Alabama, and Oak Grove, Arkansas. You guys are so great to come out down there from the Branson area. This is near Branson, Missouri, in that area. That's going to be September the 20th, one service only. And of course, I've told you I'm coming to San Diego to the Morse Serrano Legacy Center for one service as well. San Diego, I've never been to San Diego, California. So you can contact their ministry. We'll go to our website at perrystone.org, Perry Stone Ministries Facebook page, Perry Stone YouTube channel. This is how you stay in touch with us. And thank you for your prayers and support. And I'll see you next week on Manifest.
Perry Stone invites you to join him for his 2023 Israel tour. The dates are November 19th through the 28th. There is also an optional tour to the country of Jordan that includes Petra and much more. Call 1-888-321-3629 or visit perrystone.org for more information and how to register. Seating is limited, so call today.